D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by, well, we don't have C.J. Moore. Well, C.J. Moore will join us momentarily. C.J. Moore of The Athletic to discuss college basketball. This is live radio, after all. But A.K. Okereke of Vanderbilt men's basketball will join us at 4:40 as the Commodores prepare to take on McNeese in the NCAA tournament tip-off at 2:15 p.m. tomorrow, a game you can hear right here on 102.5 The Game. Let's go to our phone line now, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in C.J. Moore of The Athletic. C.J., thank you for joining us. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's start locally with Vanderbilt, which opens the tournament tomorrow against McNeese. I'll ask you the question we have been discussing among ourselves. What is the Commodore ceiling in this tournament?
Oh, man. I don't know. Final Four, why not?
Why do you say that?
They just made it to the SEC Final. They just beat Florida. They're capable of winning four games in this tournament and getting to the Final Four. That's not what I have in my bracket. That's not what I picked. But I think the fact that, you know, they've shown they can beat Florida, that's the one seed in their bracket, it's certainly possible. And with Duke Miles and Tyler Tanner, two of those guys, you know, those two guys getting on a heater, that's about as good a guard duo in the country. They got, you know, the way they can shoot the ball. It's kind of, you know, I know they don't have a ton of size inside, but that's an equalizer. So I think crazier things have happened in this tournament.
Let's stay in state on Tennessee. This is not Rick Barnes's most talented team, but he does have a stellar freshman in Nate Ament. How do you see this tournament playing out for the Vols?
Yeah, they're kind of stumbling into the NCAA tournament, but I think that they've got a, you know, possibility to get that second weekend. Virginia is really good, but they're kind of similar teams, like really big up front. I don't think either team's like great, great offensively. So, and then the first round game, SMU is also, you know, kind of stumbling into this tournament. I'm going to guess SMU beats Miami of Ohio tonight, but, either of those teams, Tennessee should be the better team. And then you get to the Sweet 16, and who knows, like, you know, Tennessee could possibly play with Iowa State. But Rick Barnes, really good coach. Obviously, he's done, you know, won a lot of games in March. I think they've got a chance to get to the second weekend, and I think that'd probably be, like, considered a successful season there, right? Like, after the last few years they've had and the run they've had, just kind of getting to this back of the NCAA tournament, have a fairly high seed. I think it's been a good year for Tennessee after everything that Rick Barnes lost.
C.J. Moore of The Athletic is with us. C.J., you wrote a great story for The Athletic that published today about Kansas star Darren Peterson, who has been one of the most polarizing college basketball players in recent memory because of the injuries and the cramping that held him out of many games throughout this season. During your reporting process, what fascinated you most about Darren Peterson and his season in Kansas, and how do you see his tournament going with the Jayhawks?
Well, you know, I've thought for a long time that, like, if he just talked and gave some context around what happened with his cramping and all his injuries, and people would have empathy and you know, kind of understand, and the narrative would have been different than it was, because it led people to just draw their own conclusions when there was really nothing out there from him. And so, you know, the fact he told me, obviously, on the when he first had the full body cramps and it put him in the hospital, and I think every time he started to cramp afterwards, like, he had that fear of that happening again. So that was, you know, that's obviously interesting. I think the other thing is, like, he said at a press conference maybe about a month ago, that he's a loner. And I asked a lot of people that knew him, that as I was doing the reporting, like, is he really a loner? Like, where does that come from? And I think there's some background in there that this shows, like, he's more of a people person than he probably gives himself credit for. And you know, his, I think the thing that maybe most impressed me about talking to different people about him is like, he doesn't have a huge ego necessarily. And you know, treats like the managers at Kansas really, really well. And isn't all about himself. And sometimes the way these kids are brought up and the way that there's so much attention around them at a young age, it's easy for them to get big heads. So that's probably the most interesting things. And you know, we'll see how his NCAA tournament goes. I think that he's obviously not performing at the level that he has in the past, like when he was in high school, when he was last summer, when he got to Kansas in the fall before he had all this injury stuff. His explosion just isn't quite there. And you know, maybe it'll come around with a week of rest, but Kansas needs him to be a star for them to have a chance to go on any kind of run.
We'll talk with CJ Moore at The Athletic. Now, CJ, how did you feel, or what did you think about Vanderbilt's seeding? Do you think they were seeded properly? Do you think they were seeded too, you know, lower than what they should have been or whatnot? And if so, or if not, do you think they were proper, like, do you think they end up being in the best bracket because of the teams they may have to face?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at their resume numbers, like their 9 at KPI, 12 at strength of record, 10 at WOB, and then you look at the quality stuff, KenPom, they're 10, or Torvik, they're 10, KenPom, they're 11, BPI, they're 14. Like, to me, that's a 3-4 seed type. So I do think they were probably a little underseeded, and, you know, maybe the early renditions of the bracket, they kind of had them there and they didn't see reasons to put them up. Who knows? It's hard to say. But I, you know, I think that they've got a shot to, it's not like with McNeese, that is a mid-major team that has high major type talent, 'cause they've got guys that have played in the high major level. So that's not going to be an easy game. Nebraska's a really, really weird opponent to play, 'cause they're so physical and they play a no middle defense that you haven't seen, you know, probably haven't seen much all year of. But I think it's not like the committee put them in like the region of death or anything like that. So, I think they got a shot to go on a run here, like I said. But yeah, if I can see them, if of any teams that are on that like five line, they're probably the one that would have the most beef.
Now, do you
maybe them and St. John's too, because of what, you know, St. John's was able to do in the Big East regular season and postseason tournament.
Now, do you believe Coach Cal can duplicate what he did in Memphis when he had Derrick Rose, a freshman Derrick Rose? Can he do that with Arkansas and Darius Acuff Jr.?
They could go around there. One, I mean, I would say they're one of the 10 most talented rosters in the country. Arizona's standing in front of them in the you know, potentially there in the Sweet 16. Like, Arizona's freaking awesome, and I don't think Arkansas has played a team probably as good as Arizona all season. So we'll see, but Acuff is a freaking electric man. And if he gets hot, he gets on a heater. Arkansas's got the talent, got the athleticism to go on a run here. But I'd be surprised if they got by Arizona.
We're talking to CJ Moore from The Athletic, getting some really good insights on filling out the brackets and looking at some of the matchups in the coming days. CJ, I really enjoyed your column on how you fill out your bracket, 'cause you've flaunted that you've had success, and I would too if I had done what you've done. But you know, one of the things I thought was intriguing, you talked about the profile of the teams that tend to pull upsets in the first round. We're going to do this exercise later in our show, just like everybody in the country does. So tell people what you mean, and does McNeese fit that profile, especially based on the fact that they won a game last year?
Yeah, I think teams that have had success recently, usually the mid-major teams that win a game are, in recent years, have been teams that like have some kind of history of success, and McNeese has. Now it's a new coach, but he's a guy that's been around. He was at Baylor last year. Has coached some high-level dudes. He used to be the coach at Link Academy in Missouri, that, you know, has some of the best high school players in the country. So they fit that profile. For sure.
Is there one team that maybe we should circle that has the ingredients to pull the upset that might be even a higher seed than a 12 that you've got your eye on?
South Florida, VCU, Akron were the teams that I pulled the trigger on. You know, Texas Tech that Akron's playing is missing JT Toppin. I was at the Big 12 tournament. Christian Anderson hurt his groin. He's going to play, but, you know, is he actually 100%? We'll see. I actually think Akron was probably the best team out of the MAC. I think that they, you know, I think if them and Miami of Ohio played three times, you'd probably see Akron win two of those games. So I think Akron, and also, you know, if you're looking for like a, I don't think you're going to see any mid-majors in the second weekend, but if there's one that has an actual path, it's Akron, because they get Texas Tech without JT Toppin, and I'm assuming they're going to get Alabama without Aiden Holloway.
Let's go back to Miami of Ohio for a minute, because a lot of people in our listening area are going to be watching that game close, not only because Miami is such an interesting story and the whole Bruce Pearl thing, but also if they win, they're going to play Tennessee. So tell me, like a team, let's say a casual fan's listening right now and say, well, 31-1, my gosh, they've got to be really good. But you just kind of hinted at why some people have question marks in them. They're going to certainly have a chip on their shoulder going into tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they played the one of the worst schedule, the 361st ranked schedule in college basketball. So their non-conference schedule was really bad. They played three non-D1s, but you got to give them credit. Like, they got all the way through the regular season undefeated. That's an incredible accomplishment, especially to get through your league, all those road games undefeated. But they've been living dangerously the past month or so. Like, they had so many close games. They won four games in overtime this year. You know, the UMass game that they lost was another close one. They finally lost one of them. But they haven't played a high major team all season. This will be the first time against SMU. They haven't seen that kind of size or athleticism. I think they're a really, really good mid-major team, but there is a divide between mid-majors and high majors these days because of what the portal's done to that level of basketball.
Finally, there's always Kentucky fans everywhere you go, but definitely in this area here. They have been so up and down. On the right day, they can look really good, but they've been sort of hit or miss. What do you think of their matchup?
I think it's St. Mary's is like a weird team to play. They play really, really slow. St. Clair. My brain is there's too many games this week tonight. Santa Clara, same league. I was close. Herb Sanders, he's got some good players. I think that'll be a game that it's probably a coin flip, like closer to a coin flip than you would think when you got a SEC team going against a WCC team. But the really, really good offensive team. They hit the boards well, good offensive rebounding team. They've got the guy that played the G League. So, you know, there'll be probably some, if they're advanced, that'll probably come back and might be a story again. But Herb's always got some good players, and I anticipate that'll be a pretty good game.
CJ Moore of The Athletic has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick to help us preview the NCAA tournament. CJ, thank you for your time. Enjoy the tournament. And keep our friend Joe Rexroad in check, please.
I'll do my best. That's a hard task.
Thank you, CJ. 615-737-1025. We will continue the college basketball conversation coming up next. Vanderbilt's A.K. Okereke will join the program live from Oklahoma City. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.